All right, so if you would turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to have a couple of verses beforehand, but go to Ephesians chapter 6. This is where the main focus is going to be. The title of my message is Three Things to Know About Spiritual Warfare. So I was praying about this a number of months ago as I knew fasting would start in the first of the year. And what I know is this: every time I fast, two things happen. Good comes out of my life and bad comes out of my life. And that's the way it works. Fasting is a purge. You're disconnecting from the world through fasting. You're saying, natural body, you don't control me. I want to be spirit-led. And then you pray to reconnect closer to God. And all I know is this, is that the devil doesn't like that. I know in a lot of churches today, people don't talk about the devil often or at all. I try to bring him up, and even just saying the name the devil or Satan, people are like, well, that's just a little guy on your shoulder, or he doesn't exist. And I have it later in my sermon, I'll say it now, but actually 50% of people who go to church don't believe the devil's real. They think that he's a character in the Bible, or a caricature, but he is not an actual literal person. But I'm telling you, whether you believe that or not, doesn't change how he responds and acts to you. He is real. He is the adversary and the enemy of the church, and there is warfare that takes place. As we're fasting in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, when Daniel had fasted and prayed for 21 days, he then, when the angel came to him with a message, he said, the prince of Persia, or which when I say that, it's like an overseer, it is a demonic principality of Persia, kept me from coming to you for these 21 days. So there is activity in the heavenlies that take place. The world you see right now in front of you is not the only world taking place. Even so, right now in this church, there's stuff taking place that we don't see. As we are praying, stuff is taking place we don't see. There is a heavenly realm that is as real as seeing each other. This is what the Word of God says to us. It shows us this. A couple of verses just to affirm that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, we are humans, but we don't wage war as humans do. We'll get into that in a moment. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. Now understand, if we're not using worldly weapons, that means we have spiritual weapons that we use. And it's not to fight physical people, but spiritual enemies. So it goes on, it says, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. Do you realize a lot of times when you have an issue with somebody else, they're not the problem, you're not the problem, it's the spiritual influence behind that is causing it? How would it be different in our marriages if we didn't see our wife or our husband or our kids as the problems, but that would just try to tear our families apart? Politics, Trump's not the problem, Pelosi's not the problem. It's the principalities behind them that are causing these issues. So rather than hating the person, why don't we attack the spiritual enemy? Okay, thank you. That wasn't my soapbox, but okay. Verse 5, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. That's our key. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Another verse, 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, he will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. The evil one is not your sister, it's not your boss. It is the devil. Okay? The devil is real. That may be his nickname, his name is Satan. John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. You see, God came to destroy the works of the devil. There is something called spiritual warfare, which breaks apart and destroys the work of the devil. We confront principalities in heavenly places through spiritual warfare. And this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. I don't want our church to be unaware of the devil's strategies or schemes, which we're going to see in Ephesians 6:12 in a moment. They're taking place right now. The devil has a plan to destroy you, to steal from you, to lie from you. And some of us don't even know it, and we're allowing this in our lives. It keeps us out of church. It keeps us out of fellowship. It keeps us out of the Word. It keeps us from fasting. It keeps us from praying. And the warfare we're supposed to be engaged in many cases, we're losing because we're not taking our steps as believers because we don't think he's real. or he doesn't know who I am. I guarantee you, the enemy knows your name. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what you're prone to do that is not righteous. And he hates you. It gets better. But we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare a lot the next couple of weeks. The devil, he's real. He's planning right now to tempt you into sin, to trip you up in situations. He wants you to fail. He wants you to fail in fasting. We'll get to that in a moment too. He is a liar, and he is the father of lies. You see, the only way that you can overcome the devil is by the truth we find in God's word. Unfortunately, I believe that too many people, including Christians, remain unaware of what's taking place all around them in the heavenlies before them, and only see the person in front of their face concerning their lives, the world around them, and honestly, the world as a whole. So before we even go any further, I just want to take just another moment and just pray again, because we're taking this time of 21 days in prayer. There's nothing wrong with taking extra time to pray. So Father, I ask right now that you would just be with each and every one of us. Lord, open up our eyes and our hearts and our ears to hear your word and to apply it to our life. Father, as Paul said in Ephesians, he said that our hearts would be flooded with light so we can understand the confident hope we have in Jesus, Lord. I ask that that would be what we have this morning. And in your name's son, I'm sorry, in your son's name, amen. We need to have a biblical worldview to know the truth of what's going on in our world. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. So I have some comments. You should have the whole passage behind me on the screen. But here's what it says. It says, a final word, this is Paul talking to the church of Ephesus, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He starts off strong right here. You know, this is so important. I mean, ask yourself, how strong are you really in the Lord and in his mighty power? We need to have strength in our lives. It says, put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Other translations will say schemes. He has plans to trip you up. Five times in Ephesians, Paul uses this word, heavenly places. Understand, there's earthly places where there's stuff that's going around right now, and there's also heavenly places. Right now, there's a heavenly, I like the word heavenly realm. You know, there's this heavenly realm, a spiritual realm in our lives. Whether you, I know we don't see it, but it's there. Where there's spiritual activity taking place all around us at the exact same time that we think our brother or our sister is the problem. Verse 13, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And again, it's not if this happens, it's when. You will be attacked spiritually. You will have to engage in spiritual warfare in one shape or another. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For the shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news, so that you may be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. And put on your salvation. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Again, it says, so the devil, his weapon is a dart, like throwing darts. And there's that accusation. It's that little thought. They're like little seed darts that grow. But we have our shield of faith to stop that. We have our body armor. We have our helmet. We have our shoes. We have our truth holding it all together. But it's interesting. We have all these defensive weapons, and then we have one offensive weapon, which is our sword. Oh, I'm over here still. It's interesting, the devil has arrows, but ours, he throws at a distance. You know, he doesn't just get right up in your face. It's like, oh, he's right over there. I see Lloyd. Boom. He throws them away. But we have a sword. You don't throw your sword, right? It's for up close and personal combat. But But I think sometimes a lot of Christians, not sometimes, most times now, Christians are not confrontational. I mean, some are. But when it comes to us engaging in battle, I think we'd rather have darts. In fact, sometimes I think we're throwing Satan's darts at other Christians. We shouldn't be doing it. But we have this weapon, which is the Word of God, is for up-close battle. You can see your enemy. It's personal. You can't avoid confrontation when it comes to spiritual warfare, but you have to take it on because God has given us a confrontational weapon in His Word. You have to engage in the battle because it's already happening. It's happening all around us. Let's keep going. Verse 18, so pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in all your prayers. Every time you see in the Bible, it says stay alert, be alert. These are contexts, these are verses for spiritual warfare to take place. Be prepared for it. And pray for me too, verse 19. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plans and the good news for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for Him as I should. So far, you may not even believe that the devil exists. Some people. That's your decision. I do. And whether you believe it or not, it doesn't change that he's going to attack you. It's going to happen. It says that not in this version, but others, it says, don't just pray in all occasions, it says, but pray in all ways. You see, there's different types of prayer as well. Prayer, I mean, most of my prayer time is talking to God, but I also pray in confrontation against the devil. It says different ways in which we pray. I pray for my family. Sometimes my prayer is worship to God, but I also confront. So I want to talk to you about spiritual warfare. And hopefully in a way that each of us can understand and how we can apply it to our lives. How do we engage in this spiritual warfare? Some people may not like to hear it. It may be uncomfortable, and that's okay. Come back next week. I'll talk about something different. But tonight, or today, this is what we have. This is what we have to talk about. This is what I believe that God has laid on my heart, because all I know is that when prayer and fasting comes, in many ways, life seems to get harder. Soap starts to look like it could taste good. I thought you were going to say Tide Pod, and I'm glad you didn't. But it's crazy what can come at us. And I'm telling you, it is spiritual warfare against us that is taking place. It affects our lives, our families, our community, our jobs. But we need to be alert and ready for action to take the fight back to the devil. You know, as I've been doing my research and looking at where I want to go on this, and whether it's looking at stuff on YouTube or reading through books, the demonic comes into play. You hear things about the demonic, and it's all these things come up, and I've never looked a whole lot into that, like into the Church of Satan and things, but do you realize that there is an adversary against the Christian church, and it's called the Church of Satan? Yeah. And do you realize that they do all the same things that we do? They get together for their church services? Do you know that they pray? That they fast? That they make sacrifices and all these things? And you know what they want to do? You know what the whole purpose is? They pray and fast for families to break apart, for pastors to have moral failures, for countries to be in chaos, for darkness to reign and rule. If they're doing that on their side, don't you think we should be doing our part on our side, being the light, fighting against the darkness? When I was reading through that, I thought it was crazy. Like, they do the same things we do. Because you see, here's how the devil works. The devil is a counterfeit. He has nothing original, nothing that is his. He makes a church because God has a church. He has people praying fast because God has people praying fast. All the things that we have, he tries to counterfeit and pervert. God has marriage, the devil has marriage. God has the church, the devil has the bar. Where there's spirits and singing and laughing and fellowship. He has an opposite for everything that God has. For everything that God has that is good, the devil has a bad. That's right. Yes. We fight against darkness. He fights against the light. God has his army. Satan has his too. So, I want to give you three things this morning, if you have your notes. Number one is this. We need to know about the devil concerning spiritual warfare. And below that, so you're going to see in your notes, you have a point and then like three sub-points for each one. The first sub-point and this first point is the devil is real. He's not a symbol in the Bible. He is an actual, literal, fallen angel. At one point, his name was Lucifer. He was before God. They say that he was the worship director of the heavens. But he fell, and he became a fallen angel. And in fact, and a third of the angels actually believed him and fell with him. We'll read this in a moment. As I said, a survey says that 50% of Christians do not believe that the devil is real. And that's exactly what he would want you to think. Every good enemy is able to conceal himself. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says, "But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." You want to know where Mormonism came from? Satan. An angel of light came to Joseph Smith, and now look what you have. It's not Christianity. It's a lie. Amen. Amen. It is. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9, there's an account where John the Revelator sees a vision of this war taking place in heaven. It says in verse 7, "Then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon," which is the devil, "and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle. And he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil," or Satan, "the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels." Now understand, they lost. Here's the good news, and we'll get more into this moment. The devil loses. In spiritual warfare, you may have a battle, but you're going to win the war if you live your life and do the things that God has put before us to do. If he is in you, he is greater than the one who's in the world. He is in me is greater than he is in the world. We'll get that scripture later. The devil's army is not strong enough. There may be a devil, but understand, he is not strong enough. He is a fallen angel. He and his other demons. But here's the reality is that the devil does not want you to focus on his identity or what's taking place. He wants to stay in the shadows. He wants to mask who he is. Second thing about the devil, you need to know that the devil wants to destroy you. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is the second part of John 10:10, which says, "I have come that you may have life in all of its fullness." That's the words of Jesus. But the first part of that verse says, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy." 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, stay alert. Here's that's that exclamation to say, this is talking about spiritual warfare. "Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. And be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of sufferings that you are." You have an enemy. He is engaged in warfare against you. And 999 times out of 1,000, you don't see him. But he's there. Third thing. The devil responds to higher authorities. This is good news. Actually, I'm going to get ahead of myself, so let's just keep going. Because the devil himself is an authority, and he is within a system or a divine realm of principalities and authorities, there are those that are under his authority, and then also the one and many others who are over him in authority. And therefore, he responds to authorities. Lesser and greater. When you fast, fasting increases your spiritual authority. Do you want to know why it's so hard to fast? And why you may not recognize this? Not just your cravings and habits that are fighting against you, but spirits fighting against you that don't want you fasting because the devil does not want you to increase your spiritual authority in your life. He doesn't want you to be able to have more power and authority above him in life. And so therefore, you're like, "I'm not going to fast. Why would I ever fast? Oh, I'm too hungry. I can't do that." He's fighting against you. He's fighting against me. Can't tell you how many times I've wanted to give in the last 10 days? A lot. 1 John 4:4, I just read this, or I alluded to it. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won the victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. We need to know this. If you confess Christ as Lord, you have more authority than the devil. Amen. Instantly. Instantly. When you say the devil made you do it, no, he didn't. Unless you gave your authority up. Unless you said, I'm above you, but I'm going to willfully go below you and let you have your way with me. I will let you oppress my life. We're going to get more into oppression and those things in a couple of weeks. We need to know this. So, number one, the devil is real. Two is this. He may be real, but God has given us weapons to fight the enemy that win every single time. I mean, God has literally given us like 3 nuclear bombs that nothing can fight against. So we don't need to be afraid of the devil in spiritual warfare. I think a lot of times the reason why Christians think is it's almost like we put our head in the sand. Well, if I don't think about it, he's not there. I'm just going to argue with my husband or argue with my wife. I'm going to gossip about my boss. Gossip about my boss. No, we don't have to do that. The devil is real. He's who we're fighting, so take the battle to him. And you can do this in confidence because, again, like I just said, you have spiritual authority. But more than that, you also have the weapons to fight with. It shouldn't upset us. But we need to really, 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 really understand we are in a battle and we have to fight. Again, going to fasting because that's what's consuming my life right now. Why is it so hard to fast? Why is it so hard to stay focused? Why are these cravings so strong? Because there is a battle taking place. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I mean, I could ask right now, how many of you read your Bibles every day? And probably only maybe a third of us would raise our hands. And it's not that we don't want to read our Bibles. I could say, how many of you want to read your Bibles? And everybody would raise your hand right now. I know that. I could say, how many of you prayed 15 minutes, only 15 minutes a day, excluding meals? And maybe 15 of us would raise our hands. It's not that I don't want to pray, but something is fighting against you to keep you from praying. I don't know about you. I've been in those places, even this last year. And I hate losing. And I refuse any longer to lose to my enemy. Amen. And we should be the same way. We all should be in agreement with this. There is warfare taking place, whether we want to engage in it or not. You are engaged. So here's our weapons. Number one, the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus has just sent out his 72 disciples to do ministry. And it says in verse 17, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So for a moment here, all we had to do is say, in Jesus' name, and they obeyed us. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Satan fell. What we read in Revelation, this happened at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1. I believe, and actually most believe, that is somewhere between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 where this battle took place. And as I was looking, I've been told that, so I believe that, but I wanted to get deeper into why do I believe that. And so God created the heavens and the earth. And you understand, God makes everything perfect. So for the fall to take place, I think it has to be in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, because it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 2, it says, and the earth was formless and void. Well, God doesn't create things that are formless and void. And in the Hebrew, it means in chaos. But here's the word that really got me. It was actually the word was. Because we read, in the beginning was the Word, or that's John 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void. But that word was, in the Hebrew, is the word heya, or heya, like H-A-Y-A. And it means to fall out or to become. And so if you take that, it says, and the Word became, or had become, formless and void. You see, when Satan was defeated and cast the earth which God made good became dark and chaotic and void. Because there's nothing that the devil puts his hands on that is not destroyed or perverted or ruined. And then in verse 3, it says this. I think I have it up there. God said, let there be light. And there was light. So even in the beginning when God created the heavens and earth, there was a recreation right at the very beginning. When darkness was in the earth and God said, no, let there be light. And light came in. This is what God does in our lives all the time, doesn't he? I was born in darkness. I was born in sin. And God brought light into my life. Jesus is saying, I was there when Satan fell. I made him fall. It says that he fell like lightning. Have you ever, what's lightning like? It's like... That's how long the battle was between God and his angels and those who chose to follow Satan. That fast. A blink. God is all powerful. And the name of his son, Jesus, is all powerful. And you have that weapon. Let's drop down to verse 19. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. I like the wordage there. Authority over power. Does the devil have power? Yes. But power has to follow authority. You can walk amongst snakes and scorpions and crush them and nothing will injure you. Now again, this is talking about spirits. It's not talking about literal snakes and scorpions. I don't have some rattlers back here we're going to be sharing across the room. That's not going to happen in this church. In Alabama, they do that. In fact, okay, give me just a second here. So when we lived in Alabama, we lived on Sand Mountain. And there was actually a book. There's this place that's called Jericho, Alabama, where I'd go hunting at. And there was snake handling churches up there. And there was this book called The Snake Handlers of Sand Mountain. They still do it today. Nuts. Off base, whatever. Okay, back on track. The name of Christ. There's no greater name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Referring to the pit of hell. Everything will submit to the name of Jesus. Here, there, everywhere. Wherever the devil operates, he must bow to the authority of Christ. It's like this. What is the one vehicle that pulls up behind you that can actually make you a little scared?
Police officers.
There we go. State Patrol. There's something about the car. There's something about the badge, the gun, the walkie-talkie, all the cool stuff, the taser. That as they walk up to your truck or your car and they say, license, registration, you say, yes, sir, here you go. In fact, it's best if you already have it ready for them. Isn't it interesting how we instantly comply to the authority of the police? Because they have a name. Because they have a position. Because there's authority in their department. If Russ is flashing his lights behind me and pulls me over, I'm not worried about it that much, am I? Hey, Russ, what's up? But there's power and authority in whose you come. We come in the name of Christ. But if you don't use it, what good is it? You can't come in the name of Russ. I don't combat the spiritual warfare in the name of Brian. I don't operate in my own power. I don't operate in my own authority. I operate in God's. Second weapon is this, the blood of Jesus. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and they have defeated him, being the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You see, sin is what gives the devil his power. That's what gives him power over people. But on the cross, Jesus defeated sin. He paid for sin and he overcame sin. The devil hates it When you bring the cross into your prayers. When you remind him of his defeat on the cross. Sin's defeat on the cross. It's powerful in your prayer life. It's a great weapon. We're not like Catholics, or we're not like going like this. We pray it. It's not a symbol. It's a weapon that we use. It was the devil's ultimate defeat 2,000 years ago. It fulfilled the prophecy we read of in Genesis 3:15. It's not in your notes, but you can write it down, look at it later. Jesus paid and wiped out all past, present, and future sin in that moment when he said, "It is finished." And that is our weapon to have. The devil, he's already defeated. Spiritual warfare, it is real, but the victory is already ours. The third is the Word of God. Third weapon. When Jesus fought the devil in his 40 days of fasting as he's in the wilderness, you find it in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4 as well. But Jesus modeled how we're supposed to confront temptation and engage our enemy, the devil. He used the Word of God. He never said, "It's not fair, I'm going to call my daddy's angels on you." He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." We need to have the Word of God hidden in our hearts. We have to have our weapon in our belt, ready to go. You see, the Word of God, it is our only offensive weapon that we have. You can't tattle. You can't run away. You can. You can't just curl up in a ball. If you're going to fight, you have to know the Word. There's nothing worse than having a gun with no ammo. We've got a lot of Christians out there waving their Bibles, but they don't know what's inside of it. This is why we offer reading plans, so that we can give a chance to read something. This is why we encourage you to memorize Word. This is why I have so much scripture in my sermons, because I think if people aren't going to read their Bible throughout the week, at least they're going to hear it and maybe remember something that they can have for a weapon to fight the enemy with. I can do all that I can preaching the Word, encouraging people to take in the Word, but you have to take the weapon yourself and fight with it. We have the blood, we have the cross, and we have the Word. I'm sorry, the name, the blood and the cross, and the Word. These are our weapons that God has given us. You need to have a verse when that situation arises that you don't know what to do about. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? I feel overwhelmed all the time. And I take Romans 8:37. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I may feel overwhelmed, but really, I have overwhelming victory. So I focus on that. When I'm afraid, when I'm thinking about money, or I'm overwhelmed by those situations, and this God who takes care of me will supply what? All my needs in his glorious riches, which has been given to us through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. When I'm afraid, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? When I feel beaten down, I have nobody on my side, I go to Isaiah 54. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against me will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. You have to know your Word. You have to have it memorized, hidden in your heart. Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, Lord. You want to stop sinning? Read the Bible. Tuck these little words into your belt so that you have something to pull out and engage the enemy with. So when if you've been in the church any time, a lot of times people talk about the call of God. And I was called into ministry at a very young age, but when I actually started to engage and go forward into to be a pastor, I went down to a school, this huge church where this school was at, and saw all these amazing world-class preachers and servants and ministers, and I thought, there's no way. I'm Podunk Brian from Nasal, Washington. Nobody knows who I am. There's no way. And felt about this big. And God gave me this verse, 2 Corinthians 3:6. He has enabled us to minister his new covenant. God enables. God anoints. He said, "Brian, I've enabled you. Doesn't matter who they are. I've enabled you." for a work. You're called. You see, you and I, we need the Word of God in our lives. So, first, the devil is real. Second, we have weapons.
Yes.
Third, there's things that we need to do every single day. One is this. Number one, daily submit your life to the Lord. I wake up every morning and I say, good morning, Father. My next word is, let your will be done. Not what I want to do today, it's yours. I submit to him. You see, your authority is only as strong as your relationship. If you don't know him, you can't use him. If you only know about him, even the demons know about him. But who are you? Your authority only goes as, or is only as strong as your relationship. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Your loyalty is divided between God and the world. I fast to disconnect from the world. I pray to reconnect to God. Every day I submit myself to God so that I can resist the devil and he will flee. Whatever you might be struggling with, whatever insecurity or secret sin or depression, whatever it is, if you wake up in the morning and say, God, I submit myself to you. Now, sin, depart. I'm resisting you. Habitual sin is broken in submission to God. So first thing, daily submit to the Lord. You see, it's your submission to God that gives you authority. I can't come against the devil and Brian. I come against the devil and who is over me. My umbrella is the Lord. I've surrendered my life to him. Daily I die, and then I walk in authority. I mean, the Bible's all through there. I must decrease, so he must increase. I die daily. I've been crucified with Christ. All these things are given to us to give us victory in spiritual warfare. The goal is that we are people walking in full submission and surrender to God. It's so important. Second is this. You need to close any open doors that gives the enemy access to our lives. This one, well, they're all on us, but this is completely on us. I'm going to be talking about forgiveness in 2 weeks, I think. And this is a huge one. But we need to have some doors closed in our lives. Maybe sometimes it's closing a door on a relationship, closing a door on a thought, closing a door on a bad habit. We leave too many things open in our lives that cause us issues. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we read this week in our Bible reading plan in 1 Corinthians, but it talks about a guy who had a horrible moral failure. And Paul said, give this person over to Satan. Basically, excommunicate them. Until they repent, have nothing to do with them. And it's a hard thing. And you'll find that it's sort of throughout the whole book, this core issue that they're dealing with in the church. And it continues on, actually, in 2 Corinthians. But what happens is you see, the church is really good about pointing out sin and then beating you up for it, but they're not really good about restoring or forgiving about it. Unforgiveness is probably one of the greatest strongholds in the church. Not just our church, but the church in general. But so anyways, as 2 Corinthians comes in, this guy that was sort of excommunicated and reviled by the church because of his horrible moral failure, the church was still persecuting him, even though he had tried to make changes and wanted to come back to God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, here's what Paul now corrects them. Says, when you forgive this man, I forgive him too. This man is the man talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit. There's that word authority. We have the authority to forgive. Why? Why do we forgive? So that Satan will not outsmart us. For we are familiar with his evil schemes. Here's what I've found in the church. With unforgiveness usually comes like this air about us. Well, they're just a nasty, dirty sinner. And we start judging people. Or someone says something we don't like and we don't forgive. This guy was horrible. I'm not going to even mention his sin. You can read about it yourself. It's in the Bible. But it was just nasty. And Paul is saying, because you hold on to this unforgiveness, the devil is outsmarting you. He's winning the game. He's winning the fight. So he says, really, get back into forgiveness mode. You know, be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. Don't hold grudges. Don't let bitterness have a place in your heart. I know you're offended, but get over it. Because the reality is, none of us, we don't have a right to be offended. If Jesus is your Lord, you are not your own. You don't have a right to be mad. Get over it. If you don't do this, you leave unforgiveness there, and you're letting the devil outsmart your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, here's another door to close. It says, and don't sin by letting anger control your life. It doesn't say not be angry. You can have anger as long as it's righteous anger. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. We all get angry, but we can't just leave it there and maintain our anger. We can't leave that door open. You know, there's also some activities that we should not be involved in. Let me step on some toes here. There's movies you shouldn't be watching. When it warns you and says there will be nudity, there will be these words, extreme violence. The world's telling you not to watch it. And we watch it anyways. I'll just be blunt here too. Receive this in love. I don't think Christians should drink alcohol. Get it out of your life. Nothing good comes from it. You should not smoke. You shouldn't do these things. You cannot be close to God and have this in your life. Get rid of the idols. Get rid of those things. We are in a time where you need to choose which side you're on. I'm not saying my side and others. I'm saying it is a spiritual side. Video games? Why should murder be entertainment? Well, it's just a game. No, it's not. You're killing people, and you like it. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. Ephesians 5:11 says, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. I am by no means perfect in this. I'm constantly asking the Holy Spirit, search me. In fact, it says in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. You want God to speak to you? Pray that prayer. And I guarantee you, something will pop up. He'll show it to you. And now we need to be led towards everlasting life. So here's the third thing that we need to do every day. Confront your enemy. Every day, you confront the devil. It doesn't take a lot of time. You know, in my prayer time, probably 90% of my prayer is praying to God, praying for my family, worshiping, meditating. But probably 10% is confronting the devil. Those things, those issues either coming before my day or before my family or before my church or in front of my nation where I confront the devil. And I said, you will not in Jesus' name. You have been defeated on the cross. You have no power here. You have no authority. I have all power and authority over you in Jesus' name. And you will not touch my family. You will be with my daughters as they go to school. You will bless my time in the church. You'll be with every family as they're preparing to come to church this morning. You'll take away the distractions. And I pray this over my life. Every day, without fail. I break things. I love breaking things. But the best place to break things is in spiritual warfare. And it's in prayer. And it's not just a pastor's authority. It's a Christian's authority through Christ. So, you will face hard times. A person is not your enemy. It's the devil. But you can defeat him because he's already been defeated. take what God has given us in the Word. I want to encourage you. We're on starting week 2 of our fast. I want to encourage you to fast. If you haven't yet, start doing it. If you have questions about what that looks like, please come and talk to me. That's my job. Let me help you get closer to God. Let me help you fight. Let's be that army of God and actually be aware of the battles that are taking place right now in front of us. Amen? So let's just end with some warfare right now. In Jesus' name, Father, right now, I declare the victory over this family. Father, if there are problems from this week, I bind them right now in Jesus' name. If the devil's attacking, I close his mouth. I close his words. I close his actions right now in Jesus' name. I bind him because he has been defeated on the cross. Sin is there. It's not here. Lord, if people have felt guilt or shame or overwhelmed or anxious or fearful, Lord, I ask for your peace to come in that place. I ask for your joy. I ask for your strength right now over every person here in Jesus' name. I ask for confidence in you because we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we stand in this place. Father, all these things, it says, having done all these things to stand. Father, if we have fallen down, Lord, I ask right now for strength to get back up. Because, Lord, if the Bible says a righteous man may fall 7 times, yet he pick himself up again. And, Father, we can do that right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Encourage every heart and mind. Keep us alert of the tactics and schemes of the enemy, Lord, that we will overcome and win as you have already won for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.